In progress.
Okay. Today is January 24th, 2023. The time is 6:22 p.m. and this is the Gunnison City Council's work session, remote access meeting, and physically being held at 201 West Virginia Avenue, Gunnison, Colorado, second floor council chambers. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here this evening to discuss this important topic with us. The topic of discussion tonight is the failed ballot initiative from the November 22 ballot question seeking to increase funding of street maintenance in an amount necessary to sustain the current number of lane miles of city streets. I will turn this over to Ben.
All right, thank you. So this is work session. We're not asking for any sort of direction, official action tonight. You can give us some direction to staff that what you'd like to see in a future work session or something that we'd like to put on a regular session agenda. Any of those are options this evening. What we'd like to start off with is just a quick rundown of what the problem is, you know, what has transpired with our ballot initiative, and make sure we're all kind of on the same starting point and same page as we discuss this. But really, the crux of tonight's discussion is the decision tree for future work sessions. Staff is just looking for, you know, what is the council's direction? And we've got three options. You can do one of those three, a combination of those three, none of those. But just provide some direction so that we can really dig in on those and come back to you at a later meeting to provide more details and work in that direction. So that's what the goal is tonight. To start off, you know, just as a refresher, kind of a second run in the 2022 ballot, but it was a singular topic for street funding. The year before, if you recall, we did the combination of requesting funding for the fire station and streets. This was in reaction to a lot of feedback that people felt like they wanted to look at just streets on their own merits. And so we did that, asked for a 0.5% that would include funding for, that would be restricted for streets and curbs and gutters. It did not include any alley or sidewalk maintenance or any kind of grant match on safety improvements. So it was pretty pared down. It failed, but not tremendously so. I think it is pretty much in line with our early polling last summer along this line. Unfortunately, I think we could have done things differently and better probably with education, and it was unfortunate we had the Fair Campaign Practices Act complaint going simultaneously with that, which is detracted from our efforts. But really, when you look at it, it's a pretty fair, good showing, I mean, for a failed initiative. Roads are hard to pass. I think that's pretty much standard with a road initiative. And when you look at the difference of 281 votes, only 141 people switching their votes would have made that a yes. So that's about 6% of the folks that voted on that particular issue there. So that's where we were at. But this is where the reason why we asked for that is our roads actually aren't too bad right now. This is part of the challenge with asking for increased funding is the condition is actually good. The PCI rating that's standard for that industry is we're at 65, which is right in the middle of good. So when people are driving around, yeah, there's some areas that need some attention, but when you're driving around down the street, you know, they're for the most part free of potholes. There's some alligator cracking here and there. But in general, in good shape. But here's what the issue is. It's about the backlog. So the backlog is not bad right now, but as we aren't able to fund to the level that is needed, which includes just routine maintenance on these roads, which consists of crack sealing, slurry sealing, other treatments, potentially overlays. We just don't have enough funding right now. And the way we're doing it right now, within 5 years, we're going to get past the threshold of where we can, there's kind of a no point of, point of no return, which is demonstrated on this chart here. So that 20% red line up here on the top, that's kind of an unmanageable backlog where you need some serious funding. And our goal is to not get beyond that. And we're on this track of where in the next 5 years, right here, that we're going to exceed that and get to a point where we really can't maintain the roads as we need to. It's just going to continue deteriorating and getting worse over time. Ideally, we would like to stay on this green line. And in order to do that, we're going to need, you know, $2 million per year to maintain that backlog. And this chart we've talked about before, if you're in that good PCI, which is around in this area, we're at 65 in here, in order to do that routine maintenance, it doesn't cost that much per square yard. Yep.
Just one quick question on the previous slide, Ben.
Yeah.
There was a middle line, the yellow, that's where the tax initiative would have taken us.
Exactly.
And that downward trending line is if...
if in 5 years we kind of implemented an increase. I think that was where we were trying to do alleys. Is that right, Jason? Where,
I think so.
Yeah, we had kind of tried to hit alleys a little bit harder for that first 5 years, and then it would drop off.
Okay, thank you.
So back to this. If we do overlays or if we do slurry seals and simple routine maintenance, then we're at $2 to $4 per square yard. If we have where we get to a point where it's looking like Georgia, like where your streets start looking like this, then you have a lot of water that's getting into that surface area here. And pretty soon you have to, you know, mill that asphalt out. You put new road base underlayment in there and make sure that your drainage is proper, because you can't just put new asphalt over that. The drainage is not sufficient, and it's just going to crack immediately. So when you have to reconstruct the road, then you're looking at $8 to $14, so four times as much if you wait rather than maintaining it. So it's kind of like that concept of if you change the oil in your car, you know, it costs a little bit to change the oil, but if you just never change the oil and you wait until your engine fails, then you've got to replace the whole engine. It's not an efficient way to do it. You can do it that way and just wait till your engine blows, but if you're looking over the long term, that's not the ideal use of funds. So why are we here? You know, that's the part that's hard to explain to the public. The roads look fine right now. What happened? Well, there's a couple things. This chart shows one of them, is that over the last 25 years, especially your road base has gone up 800% in that time frame. You also have increases in milling is almost 500%. And over that same period of time, the sales tax has incremented about 4.8% per year, which is 200% over that 25 years. So the costs have outstripped the revenue. So yes, sales tax has grown, and it's done great. It's over inflation. We've had, you know, you would expect 3% on average. We've been above that, which is great. You know, so the revenue side is not the problem. It's not that we've redirected revenue to somewhere else to blow it on something, which I think is a misconception out there. It's that the costs have increased. The costs have increased dramatically beyond the revenue. That's part of it. The other part is in order to save money over the last few decades, a cheap way of dealing with this was to mill the edges of the street by the curb and put another overlay over the top of that. So you'll have places where, you know, over by the curb, you know, it's a few inches thick. But then in the middle of the road, the crown, I mean, literally they're taking cores, and it can be, what, Jason, like a foot thick?
Virginia.
Yeah, if you're running the roads, you gotta like switch which direction you're running, so you'll get like hip problems.
Yeah, exactly. And that's that crown. And Virginia is a great example. When you come head in to City Hall here, it's getting to the point where you can't back out of that when it's icy. You know, you're going to have people parked in City Hall when they run over the curb because it's just, you can't continue to do that anymore.
Very tricky
on most of those streets. So the method of doing road maintenance was, you know, it was a way to get by, and, you know, it was effective at that point, but that method is no longer valid. You know, it's not a good way to go.
It's lived its useful life.
Yes, exactly. So really, those are the issues. You know, you've got an increase in cost. You've got a method that we were using to maintain the streets that you can't continue down that track. And there's where we are. So when we look at what we need, this is an estimate that's based on 5% inflation from our last thorough pavement management analysis through IMS. And we've inflated that from the 2019 numbers at 5% per year, which may be a little thin, but it gives you the idea. So what that recommendation is that we would be a little over $2 million of spending on maintenance of just pavement. You know, this doesn't count equipment costs. This doesn't count Jason and his crew. It doesn't count snow removal. This is straight up road maintenance. That's what the recommendation is. But what we can actually afford is $1 million. So we're about half off. And when we look at a 5.5% sales tax, you know, that generates about $600,000 a year. And or about $1.2 million a year is 1%. So if you get the, I'm saying this wrong.
Yeah.
It's $1.2 million for 0.5,
yeah,
to be clear. So if we get $1.2 million, then we should be close to that maintenance. Now, what we really need is another 0.25, which would get us that $600,000-ish per year, which is for other costs like our alley maintenance and our sidewalk maintenance. And that's what we kind of stripped off last year just to try to do the bare minimum. And I think as staff, we never want to do a half measure. You know, if we say we're asking for funding for streets, we get the funding, then it's really hard to say, no, we can't do some of that. Even where did that funding go? So that was a challenge with that initiative. So I just want to make sure that's clear that alleys, sidewalks, and those safety or aesthetic type improvements are not in there when you do a 0.5%, generates just enough for the pavement maintenance on streets alone. Any questions on that?
But another quarter would do. Another quarter would do. Okay.
Yes.
The alleys.
Alleys and additional sidewalks too.
Yeah, I think it would allow us to maintain. We've got places where the trees are lifting the sidewalk. We've had somebody fall at Gene Taylor's a few weeks ago that hurt themselves. The tree roots are lifting that sidewalk up. We need money to be able to replace that, maintain that, so it's not a trip hazard. Those are the kind of things we would like to maintain. And then there's also the, you know, you go down the streets and there's the sidewalk to nowhere that just ends in the middle of somebody's yard. You know, fixing those. And it's also grant matches for things like the safe routes to school that we did the sidewalks to, you know, up Spruce Street and down the one by
Leroy.
Lake. It's not Leroy, it's Arthur.
Elizabeth.
So those are kind of the projects that we don't have money for, and if we try to do those, that's just more that's taken away from street maintenance that we already don't have enough of. So when you look at this, we have half the money that we need to maintain streets. So something's got to be done, and or nothing can be done, but there's going to be a ramification for that. And so that's what this decision tree is about. And we've prepared some options to discuss. All of these are not one size fits all. It's not 100% in one direction. So this kind of gives you some food for thought to see what direction you wanted to go in. But you can combine some of these things depending on how much funding is available. But I think if you distill it down to these three options, it kind of helps us analyze what exactly is happening here. So option A, the first one is, I think we posted something on Facebook last week, and some people kind of view this as sarcastic. You know, this is a sarcastic remark. And I think that's the key thing that shows that we have not done our due diligence on educating the public, because it's not sarcastic. If we don't change anything and we just keep funding at half the level here is what we need, it is kind of like a vote no is a vote for gravel streets. And the way I think we can think about it is you're driving down a road, and in 20 years, you're going to reach a destination. And that destination is that half of your streets are gravel or dirt. You're not there right now, so it sounds kind of shocking, but you are on the road and you are driving in that direction, and if you don't want to go there, you need to make a decision now to get off that highway and take a turn and go down a different road that means you have maintained streets the way they are right now. So that's the difficulty, is you're not there. It's 20 years in the future, maybe 15 years in the future, but it's a ways out. It's not going to happen overnight. But you're on that track, and if you don't do anything to change, that's what you'll arrive at. And then, you know, I don't want it to sound like this world, you know, is coming to an end, the sky is falling. That's not what we're saying, because there's many, many towns that don't have the funding to pave their streets. We've paved our streets, so it's kind of disheartening to go back, you know, on that. But there's plenty of towns that have dirt streets. It does slow people down when you're driving. So that can be a pro on it. It's a lower cost, so your taxes would be lower. So those are some benefits of it. We've talked to other people. Contractors sometimes like it, because if they're connecting to utilities, you don't have to make asphalt patches. You just dig up the road and put the dirt back, compact it, and good as golden. So the cons are that some people think that makes your town look a little less beautified. You know, the aesthetic aspect increases dust, and obviously you have potholes and it's
bike lanes on dirt.
Right. So you lose something in that, but that is an option. But we just need to be clear to the public and to ourselves that if we choose that pathway, we have to understand that we need to be saying no to things. We can't be providing grant matches for bulb outs. We can't be doing special projects like that. We're going to do the bare minimum alley maintenance. When it's really lifted up, we can grind it down with the concrete grinder or take it out, but we can't repair it really. And then the alleys, that's a challenge for the trash trucks. If we get to the point where the trash truck can't go down the alleys where most people's trash receptacles are, many communities just move their trash pickup to the main street. You know, you just bring your trash can to the main street. It's not uncommon. And that's actually why we have trouble getting a trash truck that suits our alleys, is you don't have all the power lines and utilities in the main street. And so you can have the truck that lifts up higher and isn't tearing out all those wires. We have to get specialized equipment that has a pretty low height requirement so that we are not tearing out the electrical. If that's not a requirement, no, there's no law that says we have to pick up in the alleys. And but people also access their homes in the alleys. So, but we could we can grade that. We can maintain it so that it's passable. But that's what that picture looks like. And if you chose that option, again, your pro is that your taxes remain where they are. But we would look at identifying which streets those were. You know, we continue to maintain the arterial streets, the emergency response streets, the bus streets. So, you know, Colorado, Denver, 11th, Spencer. Those streets would be untouched, and we would continue to maintain those at a high level of service. But streets that don't have nearly as much traffic would be selected to really receive no maintenance whatsoever in the future. And then we would have to spend some funds to address the potholes that would develop. Eventually, we'd have to mill out and grind up the streets. May have to relocate the storm sewers above ground and kind of turn it back to a borrow ditch situation, because you can't have all that sediment just plugging up the storm sewers. But it's doable, and it's much cheaper.
Would we need to purchase a asphalt grinder, in essence?
I would imagine, since it's a one-time kind of thing, as that comes along, that we would contract that. What we may do is get more motor graders so that we can do, you know, the grading operation better. I don't know if we'd be outfitted right now. We'd probably need something to lay down mag chloride to keep the dust down as dust retardant.
But that would be an additional expense that we'd have trouble meeting also, though.
And that's one thing.
It is much cheaper, though, than trying to.
I don't feel any of that's an option.
That's one thing, Ben, that I think needs to be noted in that, too, is, you know, if it were to go back to dirt right now, those added expenses, yes, we're going to be saving money, but currently we don't have the manpower and the equipment power to maintain that much extra gravel type surface.
Right. It would be a shift in cost.
Is this a good time for any discussion on our part?
What might be nice is just for us to kind of lay out the options, if you wouldn't mind, and then I think it would be a discussion from council on, you know, whatever you want. It's really the pleasure of council.
Yeah, okay?
If you don't mind.
Let's get through BNC and then
Well, I've already read everything, but go ahead.
I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. Okay, option B is to try again for a tax increase. This is the concept that, you know, we were pretty close. Could we do a better job on education? Can we be more realistic? And instead of spattering people with graphs that look like this, that are hard to comprehend, and just really make sure that people are understanding that we are on a track to go to gravel streets. Because I think that's when you actually say that to somebody, they can't believe that you're saying that. But I think we owe it to the public to make sure that that's clear. And so if there is support and that we don't want to go down that road, how can we make that successful? Do you broaden the appeal with a larger tax? And we could include alleys, sidewalks, safety improvement type projects. You could also go the other way and reduce the tax, and it would just make a dent in what streets you're choosing to not maintain. You could change the tax source to a property tax. I don't think that we were real hip about that, just because the sales tax is ideal with visitors paying a third of that, and they are using those streets. So it distributes the burden among people that are visiting rather than wholly borne by our citizens. You also could try to broaden the appeal. This is a strategy that's similar to the pool that failed a number of times, if you remember. But what ultimately passed it is coupling the pool with the rink with trails. So you might not want one of those things, and maybe none of those would pass on their own. But when everybody goes, well, you know, I'd like a pool, and this other person says I'd like the rink, and the other person says I like the trails, then all of a sudden you've got this more broad appeal that passed that recreation tax that funded the construction of the pool, the rink, and funded about $100,000 per year on trails until they reached $1 million for van tile, cemetery ditch, airport underpass, and those things. So those are some things we could look at to just change it up. Or we could run it again with more education is another option, just exactly like we did before. And then option C is, this is an interpretation that instead of the community saying, no, I don't want to fund roads, that it's about tax burden. You know, what's our overall tax burden? And we think that the tax is high enough. 4% for the city is plenty. And, you know, what we're asking the city council to do is live within your means. So with that interpretation, you can, you know, you can look at it in the histogram of Colorado, with sales taxes, only 11% are higher than us. So you could make the argument that our tax is high. But what's the difference there is we have a specialized tax at 1% that funds parks and rec only. That's unusual. So the amenities we have in this community with the pool and the rink and the trails is much more robust than really any community our size. Grand Junction doesn't even have a rec center. So, I mean, you think of communities that can be much larger that have fewer amenities than this small town. That's why our tax is higher, is we have a lot of funding for parks and rec. We can do a lot. We can do a lot of parks maintenance. We have excess right now that we're saving up for more amenities that might include a phase three on the rec center. So we have excess there, but when you take the 3% that is the original, so to speak, I mean, there is deeper history than that, but prior to the Parks and Rec tax, the 3%, it doesn't absolve you from the maintenance on the roads. And so when you count that, it is more reasonable within the state of Colorado. And asking to go to the 3.5% would not be that out of the ordinary. So if you take a look at this and say, well, the tax is high, we've got this Parks and Rec sales tax, and one idea is to make sure that we're using the most restrictive source first. So that 1% is restricted to Parks and Rec. Are there areas in the general fund that we could support with that tax, which would include parks, $892,000, potentially Craner Hill as well, at 70. So you're getting close to that $1 million that you need per year to maintain. That is a strategy that could be viable. The challenge with that is it's a term called supplanting. So some of your voters that went, okay, I'm voting for this park and rec tax, are they going to turn around and say, you know, that's not what that was used for? You were already paying for that before that tax was passed with parks. Parks was in existence before all of those things, and so was Craner Hill since the 60s. So if we take that tax and suddenly we start using it to pay for those costs that were pre-existed that tax, that could be something that doesn't appeal to people. But I think if we talked to the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee and we educated the public, it's complicated. It's a little bit more complicated, but it's not saying that we're not funding the things that tax was originally set out to fund, because we're still doing the pool, we're still doing the rink, we're still doing the trails. It's just that tax has grown, and now can we take this money and use it to offset some costs in order to free up money for roads. You also have the complication that tax sunsets in 2032, so we have to address that somehow. It can put parks, and it can put, well, whatever you're supplanting, it would take parks and Craner Hill and put that on the chopping block, so to speak. But in 2032, if you couldn't resolve the sunset issue with that tax going away, or at least 75% of that tax going away, you'd just be back in the same boat you are now. You could switch it back so that parks is back in the general fund, and now you're just in the same issue that we are today with roads.
Question on, if I remember earlier discussions correctly, 0.25 does not, on an annual basis in the future, meet the needs of the rec center and the other things to maintain.
We need about half of a percent. So
therefore,
let's say we didn't have this road problem. you still have a Parks and Rec problem because the rink and the pool takes more than 0.25%, which is the part that will remain. It was originally intended to maintain those facilities, but it needs 0.5. But if you look at this 1%, if we need 0.5 to maintain those in perpetuity, then there's that other 0.5 that's set to go away that if you could get the voters to be okay with that, you need to change the ballot language. You need to remove the sunset. But you could keep the sales tax at 4%, fund the rink and the pool the same as we always have, and that excess after the bonds are paid off, the 0.5, that's basically what we need for the street issue. So it's complicated, and that's the issue with all of this, is trying to explain these strings attached to someone in the public. You know, it takes a little bit of time. It takes some interest from that person to want to understand it, but it's complicated. But that is a live within your means method. And then these other bullet points are to address this concept of out there of, you know, you need to sharpen your pencils. You need to stop wasting money on things that are not essential. And that one's another one that's complicated. It's much easier. It sounds easier than it is because all the examples that people will bring up are usually related to grants that we received or projects that we aren't even involved in. So examples of that is the mural on IOOF. We didn't fund that, nor did we have really any say on the funding. Yes, we had some people on the committee to select the mural, but that's not city property, and nor is it city funding. So that often is cited as, why are you spending money on that when you should be spending it on streets? Even if it was our money, it was the transportation and or tourism and prosperity program. Even if it wasn't their money, if it was city money, it's only $50,000 in one-time cost, and we're talking about we need $1 million a year. But that one's often cited. Other ones are IOOF Park revitalization. Right. A lot of that was grant, and then Parks and Rec funding through that tax. None of that can be used for roads. A lot of these examples that people will bring up, they're not eligible for using for streets. You can't use your marijuana funding for streets. You can't use conservation trust for streets. You can't use any of your enterprise funds from user fees for sewer, water, electric, and trash for roads.
One question. Is there any precedent on enterprise funds? I mean, obviously, if you're doing trash, the trucks are on the streets. If you are dealing with electrical, you're obviously going through the right-of-ways and using the streets. Water and sewer certainly have right-of-way access. Is there, one of the things I thought about, is there essentially a user cost that could be placed on those? Now, that would mean an increase in all of our utility bills, that would be a source of funding. It probably does not equal $1 million, but it might get a quarter of the way there, depending on what was available. It's just a thought that I had.
Yeah. We could look into. I've never seen one that heard of, but basically a street impact fee.
It's essentially the argument in part of what Wayfair did in saying, why should I pay sales tax in Gunnison or in the state of South Dakota when I'm not based there? The answer is you're using all the streets and highways and airports to get it there, so therefore you're using the city's infrastructure or the state's infrastructure, so therefore you owe money for that. Now, it would have to have a nexus.
Sure.
That is, it would have to match up some way in terms of the amount, but, you know, whether that's a flat amount or something like that.
The clearest nexus I can think of would be that alley aspect with the trash truck. That is probably the most significant impact to our alleys that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens every single week. Yeah. You know.
But you have everything else drives on it. So, I mean, it seems
but
like.
I don't think any of our other equipment is. The jetback truck is probably the biggest example of a utility that's impacting a street as far as weight.
The bucket trucks, well, maybe?
But that's an interesting thought.
I think it would go further than just the trucks, though. I'm following Jim. Like, you know, you got water and sewer lines under the street. You got electric lines under the street that repairs or new stuff. It's impacting that street one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And if they're cutting the street to put new stuff in, now your maintenance has just expanded greatly because now you have to maintain this essential scar in your street as opposed to a salt.
Which introduces more water and more, freeze, thaw, cycles.
So I think perhaps, Ben, my opinion, I think we're at a good point to pivot into some of the conversation that Jim wanted to have around the three options that are on the table.
Well, one thing I might just add, just to close that loop, is so when we do look at what you can cut that competes with streets, there are some little things in the general fund that you could look at: professional development for departments. You could look at the Christmas party for employees. You could look at, various things like that. In broad brushstrokes, these are the areas that in the general fund that you can touch. We already talked about Craner Hill and Parks. Those are currently funded by the general fund. You could make cuts to those. $526,000 is a combination of all your grants and economic development, including your strategic partnerships. So things like the ICE Lab, the Chamber of Commerce Visitor Center, all of your public service grants for, food pantry, 6 points, early child care, arts center, economic development grants, which is mostly the Cattlemen's Days, the Greenback Exchange for the holiday Greenback program, things like that. If you cut that in its entirety, that would be $526,000. There's some challenges with that, and we've talked about that, how those nonprofits rely on them. The other one that's a big one in there is there's $100,000 for the chamber that in 2015 there was a vote from the business community to give up part of their vendor service fee as they get to keep 5% of the sales taxes they collect as a cost of collecting it. And so they gave up 1% of that, and now they only keep 4%, and that funded the visitor center. So if you cut that, I think you could have pushback from the business community. It may have changed since 2015 to now, but essentially that's a pass-through from the business community for that grant.
One correction in how you stated it. It's a 20% give-up on the part of the vendor, although it's only one penny out of the four.
Say that again.
Okay. If I have 5%, that I have as a vendor fee.
Yes.
Now I'm doing 4%. It's one against, it's,
yes.
Yeah, it's 20%.
We take the four now that they're giving up, divide it by four, because you get 1% to bring us back to five.
So it ends up being, from their standpoint, as a business, they contributed one-fifth of their amount that they were receiving.
Yes.
In which...
So I just want to point out that none of these are quite as simple as they initially show. Police department is a big one, but a couple of those officers are funded by marijuana funds, so you'd have to cut the ones that are funded by the general fund. Fire department is one that really runs pretty thin. It's a volunteer department. I don't know that there's a lot of cutting there. And then your $500,000 strategic plan implementation fund. That includes that $150,000 that we have budgeted but not approved for the sustainability coordinator. And the $350,000 is where we've been getting funding for, like, Lazy K. I think it was $534,000 over the last 3 years towards Lazy K to develop that. So if you cut that, then your strategic plan elements for housing and sustainability would need to be modified at least or come off of your strategic plan. There's other areas that when you look in the general fund costs, if it's senior meals, Those are supported by the meal charges and a contribution from the county. Victims Advocate is supported by grants and contributions from the other law enforcement agencies in the valley. You've got recreation programs where those are offset by the fees you pay to register for those sports or classes. So, and then if you look at general expenses like city manager, attorney, finance, clerk, those are offset by transfers from the telephone service authority, the utility funds for the services that we provide for those. So when you look at the $10 million in the general fund, you can't just cut $10 million because you're also cutting the revenue that goes along with that. So you've got to look at both sides of the equation. These are the areas where there isn't a revenue that supports it per se. So those are the areas that are broad brush strokes that you could look at cutting. And so here's the three options. You could do some of them. And I just wanted to finish with the staff recommendation is to try again on the tax. Maybe keep it around that 0.5 mark, which we know isn't quite enough because we're still about $600,000 short. But maybe what we can do is look at some of these other areas and show that we can sharpen our pencils and make some reasonable cuts that aren't, devastating to whoever's receiving those services. And switch the Parks and Rec sales tax to fund some of that. So all of that would be a combination, and try to do what we can to maintain our streets and keep them in reasonable condition as we go forward. So with that, we're here to answer questions, let you all, converse among yourselves and see if we can come to a place where, how do we move forward from this?
I have one thing I'd like to throw in there.
Sure.
I don't know the logistics behind this, but going back to the user fee that Jim talked about, does RTA pay anything sort of a user fee?
No.
Because those buses are a major, major impact. That picture you got up there is probably 95% RTA because that's a bus route, and that street was not designed to carry those buses.
Well, just to answer the question on that, with RTA, their initiative is to run from Gunnison to Crested Butte, not to have a circulator bus through here. So I can see if we did something like that, we get the pushback. They just run to the edge of town, have one spot to pick them up and take them back up there. So we get a bonus from RTA to have the circulator go through town. So, anything we try to do, we're going to have pushback from somebody, and then we got to look into whatever the voters passed. And before, so that has come up in RTA how many times they're not supposed to be a circulator when we try to get them to go down by the airport and stuff like that.
But
that's not in there.
I think when there's too many moving pieces at RTA for us to feasibly bring them into our calculus in some ways, right? Is that a fair representation?
Yeah.
Because I think the circular is invaluable to the community. Mm-hmm. And in brief chats with Truex at the airport opening, expansion of that is not off the table by any means in the committee discussions, right?
Right, yeah.
But I do think there's just too much moving on their plate for us to consider in this calculus.
Right, if we did that, then the other routes that could be added in the future wouldn't come into play. Yeah. And I think for a lot of the people, it's invaluable for them. I mean, I personally have only been on the bus twice, but there's other people that's been on them.
I do twice a week.
Yeah, so I don't.
I agree with the bus thing. I mean, kids use it all the time too. It's just
We're brainstorming stuff. We're not running anybody down.
I think it's important to be as creative as we can be, because.
But if we can use some of the. The electric fund, the water, sewer, and all for it, if we can figure out the loophole in that where we can do it, great. But we all know inflation's it's not going to get any better. So if we go what we're talking about, we're still not going to have enough, and we're going to look bad. I think we need to go for what we need with a little bit of a cushion, go a little bit over so we can do what the people here want, because you have all these people wanting sidewalks to walk on because they don't feel safe walking on our streets. That's why they're so wide. I'm fine with that. I think we need to stop peeling the curbs because that's where our streets, we're wasting money doing that. And I'm not running you down. But why the hell should we peel the curbs when everybody complains about our streets being so wide? Let's just open up the rain gutters. Let's cut back on fuel expense there now, starting tomorrow. You know, then we don't have curb damage either because anybody that's ever plowed, you have curb damage and you do stuff. So we got wide streets. The streets that aren't wide, down at Sunspot, yeah, we got to do that. Palisades, we got to do that. But the majority of our streets, it's not peel the curbs. It's not waste our time and money. We've got other direction. That's something staff can discuss and go on. I mean, I've got a list of stuff, and I'm going to forget stuff because you get me when I can't talk, you stifle me, and then I'm old.
You wrote it down, though.
Not everything. I'm not that quick. I graduated from Gunnison High School in the 70s, so, you know, that was good times.
Your words.
Mine? Oh, yeah, I didn't drink. Well, I didn't do anything but drink. But anyway, but when we're ready for, I mean, that's the type of stuff that, you know, that's the only type of stuff I feel we can cut back on. You know, the rec department, if we start pulling money from that, we need to actively start working on getting rid of that sunset. The voters voted it in. The sunset, there is flat ass ridiculous to ever do that because 30 years down the road, what are we going to have? Inflation. Well, we don't have the money to do it, so what are we going to do? Have a failed rec center, ice skating rink, you know, the trail system really never was completed. The price went up. They started down on 8th Street. They started building the paths for sidewalk how many years ago? And ran out of money because other things cost more. So we have people's yards that have granite in it because it was going to be paved according to the text, the next summer. And the son of a bitch didn't do it. It went a different direction. I mean, it's disheartening for the people that live there because they had grass there, and now they have granite. They had topsoil, now they have granite. And it never got paved, nobody uses it. You know, and that's because, you know, there was a dollar amount on the trails. When the dollar amount got hit, projects came to an abrupt end that was started. And that's just down on 8th Street. I don't know any, that's where I'm at, so that's all I know. And it's not on my property. I got the sidewalk. You know, great, I didn't want it. We had it on the other side of the street. It was a waste of money on my, you know, and that's wastefulness. But that's was before your time. But it was bad decisions on Public Works Director at that time. Bad decisions because they put the horse before the cart. I mean, I can go on, but I think what I absolutely, and I'll go into other things, but we need to go for the tax. We need to take care of the alleys. Sidewalk repair and additional sidewalks for the areas that's needed. I don't think the whole town needs it. The cutbacks should be done on peeling curbs and stuff like that. It'll stop on curb damage. You know, how much curb damage do we have? The curb and gutter I paid for around my three city blocks, they're busted out all over. I don't plow that direction. It's not for me. And it's going to happen. Especially when you narrow a street, I feel sorry for whoever keeps on hitting it there on 9th Street and taking out that corner on my property, because whoever's in that plow, I'm surprised if they didn't have their seatbelt on, they'd be through the windshield. And that's been done three different times that I've seen. That's from narrowing the street and somebody not remembering at 3 o'clock in the morning trying to peel the curb, you know, getting as close to the curb. When I plowed the streets, that's a different story. I can go into detail on that to you, but they wouldn't allow us to go that fast at 2 o'clock in the morning and shoot it up in people's sidewalk or front porches. But we did in my area. We didn't have to go back through because I went a little bit too fast. But anyway, there is ways to cut back in certain ways, but it's never going to make this up without something else failing. So education starting now, way before what they've started with this on it, I've got nothing but compliments from my constituents, okay? Nobody's saying anything, they like it. Now, older people like me and older that see this on Facebook, they get it. If we can come up with pictures of Gunnison in the 60s. I mean, we started paving this in the late 60s. They did the chip and sealing in 71, so it was all paved, the majority of it, not down by the high school and over by the airport and all wasn't done, but the majority of the town was done in the 60s, and they was actually doing chip and sealing in 71, finishing it. But as a kid, I mean, you don't want to live in this town with dirt streets. I mean, if you go up in the hills and you'd look down in the middle of summer, it was a dust bowl. You could not see Gunnison. It was like driving into Denver with the pollution. We saw the dust here. And I'm certain there are pictures of that. So, you know, Back to the Future, whatever, we want to come up with some little slogan. You know, this is what you want. Show pictures of that. You know, and, you know, I probably won't be here in 25 years. But I hope to Christ I'm here in 15, yeah. And I don't want my streets to be dirt in 15. I'll only be here in the summers in 15 years, not in the winters.
I think that's one of the biggest challenges that we talk about is that how do you demonstrate visually to somebody something that hasn't happened and won't happen for a decade and a half, you know? So it's a challenge to talk about that. I mean, you know, you've been on roads that are like that. Ours are not. There's, you know, we can pick out the worst examples like that one at Georgia, but that's not compelling because it's not all over town. You're not experiencing that right now. And so I think we do need to get really creative about how do we convey this message about something that hasn't happened, isn't happening, but will happen in ways out.
Well, but if you've been here long enough, so talk to people that have, what it used to be, and we're going back to it without this, because inflation is not what we've done.
Mm-hmm.
If I wasn't sitting up here, I'd realize the same thing, because I go buy a dozen eggs, I go buy a gallon of milk. It's not what it was 25 years ago, you know, not what it was 2 years ago. And oil, and people don't realize what oil is used for. I mean, it's used in tennis shoes, that you know, but everything. So the price is not going to, it's going to drop, but it's right. Not going to drop to the point that, you know, so I am rambling, but we need to ramble. That's what this is about. So everything that you've talked about, option B, not everything that I agree with, but, you know, that's what we need to do. We need to start doing the education now, because I will be on council for the next 3 years. And until I'm off council, I want this on the ballot every year, because it's important to me that our town remains as nice as we can. We've got to do proper maintenance on everything. That's the reason I ran. I know that's the reason Jim ran. You know, these other things that people want, you know, street lights are great, this is great, that's great, but we've got to take care of the stuff that really, really is going to make a difference down the road. And that's something I'm going to push extremely hard. That's what I promised everybody. God, how many years ago? This 6.5 years ago we ran, Jim? So I think we've come a long ways in the last 6.5 years. Mallory's been on board the whole time. You know, and there's no reason to change direction, but education, and that's whoever's doing this stuff here, you know, find the photos, you know, tell them to talk to.
That's, can people. I make a point right there, too, mm-hmm. of finding photos, et cetera, is I want to reflect back to the work that was actually done around this last election, and barring Jim Gellick's involvement, we, as a council, did not stand behind this. And I know I had brought it up at a meeting of, if we're going forward, you know, we all need to have skin in the game. And I ended up putting the website together, you know, on my own time and all of that. But barring all of that, staff was not allowed by law to educate people on this initiative, and we were right up to the wire with deciding and everything, and then everything fell off, and we saw the school district won. They won by the skin of their teeth, and there were people, I had multiple people from the school board come to my business and talk to me about the initiative, and none of us.
I did.
Will you talk to your people?
I talked to many, many people. I talked to people that were absolutely not my people and told them that I would not go for
it. And I'm not trying to like inflame things. We didn't have a concerted effort. As a council, yeah. We didn't have a concerted effort to pass this initiative.
Or if we were going to get there, we were so too late in deciding, which is why we want to talk about this now. And if we're doing this, we start now, we're fully committed, and staff can talk about it as long as we don't, when the gun goes off according to the law, and this time we're going to interpret that very narrowly so we don't get in that boat, but we can talk about it all, you know, until the ballot language is...
All I'm trying to say is it was very close, and that there was no effort to get it over the finish line, you know, save for everybody contacting maybe their own 50 or so people, which probably most of them were already going to vote for it anyway. It's like we didn't have that broad, concerted, educational push and effort to be, you know, out there advocating for it as a council. And I think that's where we failed.
And that's what I'm trying to say now. We can talk about anything we want at this point here up to a certain date before the election. So that's where I'm saying.
Well, it's not really a date, and that's where we found out is you really can't talk about a ballot language whatsoever. If you start talking about specific language, that's when you start talking about it, you must stop talking about it is kind of
right.
The way.
Right. So if you guys want to move forward, I think what you're really saying is you want to move forward with forums, education, all the information that you can put out there, ask voters what the package needs to look like for them. But you're not talking about a percentage per se. You're not talking about a ballot issue. What you're doing is getting as much information in front of people and advocating for the need and not making a decision on the ballot part that stops that advocating period until, you know, you have to. So, but you know that you're heading forward. It's just we don't want to have to stop in February because you guys have decided that you're moving forward in February because then we've just, you know, the law needs to be changed, but right now it's a mess. So to me, it's less about ballot and more about
what is the goal.
What
are you trying to do?
Yeah.
And you can talk about the cons because the big con is that you're going to have a tax increase. That's always a con. And that's the other big piece is if you talk about the cons, and I think it's fair. I don't think we were hiding and trying to make it sound like there was no tax that goes along with this, but obviously that is the biggest con with any of this, or at least on option B, is that you're going to have a tax increase, and it was going to cost you 50 cents on a $100, you know, grocery bill.
Yeah, no, you...
Not even groceries, though, because most aren't taxed.
But anyway... What needs to be discussed now is less what the plan is and what the need is. What physically, and in essence, you need to provide information on all options. Okay, it's not going to work if you just choose one. I don't know. I think that visually on option A, you need to say, here's the preliminary plan of what streets will not be touched.
One thing that we talked about with that, Jim, is that we can do that, but we're worried about if the specific streets are known, do the people that have their street as untouched go, well, it doesn't affect me now. It affects my neighbor down the street. You know, on the next road over, but it doesn't affect
but
me.
But anybody can also figure it out. The school routes and the snowplow priority map probably gives you that priority map.
Yeah, the snow plan. Yeah.
But it'll downgrade from there too. So.
Right.
So,
I think maybe it's not so much the downside, but showing what would be. Yeah, just what are the priorities?
Yeah, or
not so much this one, it's going to go anyway. So.
Yeah, and what total percentage of streets are. And realize that most residents do not just drive three streets or four streets. And that's there. One other alternative funding method, and that is And again, I think that this may be partial, just like the fee that may come back for use by the utility companies, quote unquote, is all properties have, or most properties, not necessarily all, have a join or face on streets. We used to have a sidewalk ordinance that basically said, if you wanted a sidewalk, you pay 50% and the city will come in and do in kind and put a little money in that would equal 50%.
Yeah.
It never really equaled 50% because part of it was actually labor and not real dollars in the sense of money spent with a company. There is a way, and if you take it out, you do a per foot charge of access to street. And somewhere around, I think if you wanted to fully fund everything, including sidewalks, you're somewhere up around $6 to $7 a foot. Okay, so if you have 100 feet, you can translate that out to an annual thing. And that would have to be like the fee for mosquitoes collected through the treasurer's office. And essentially it would be, the thing about that fee is that it can be equalized between commercial and non-commercial properties.
Do you have a specific example of a place that uses this?
Nope. Never.
Yeah, we'd have to explore if that was legal.
I think you'd have a section of sidewalk and then not, and then a section of sidewalk and then not.
That's what we did in the past. But it is, essentially, it would be enterprise. You would be basically paying for the street in front of you over time. And you could generate money that way. And so even if it was only partial, that would be easy to have a nexus on. It's another thing that you would need a nexus study in order to do it. But it is something that could generate, you know, probably if you're getting into about 500,000, you're probably talking about somewhere for property owners, maybe it's 200 to 250 bucks a year. If I've done my math right. Something to think about. In other words, there may be some way of, in essence, reaching the higher amount that Jim's talking about without actually having to do that as totally a direct ask of the people in that way. But you have the disadvantage that you're creating another enterprise fund, which then has all the problems of enterprise accounts and the benefits. But those are two additional thoughts I've had.
One additional thought, this isn't a good thing, but adding to the complication of education to the public, I think it's important that we paint or, you know, explain that this isn't to then go pave Gunnison Rising. Because that, I think, was a common misconception to some, mm-hmm. and it's going to turn people away. So just that knowledge in and of itself, again, adds to the complication of what needs to be explained, but it probably needs to be considered as part of the explanation.
Yeah. Sure.
I'll chime in at the end. Jim, anything else, Bo?
Yeah, I would love to. I haven't piped in at all yet, and. I mean, I'm hearing some really good things, I think, tonight, and I think I like to just kind of direct conversation toward that. But first of all, option A shouldn't be an option. I think we've got too much at stake to go that direction. I think to have dirt streets in a university town would be a disaster. I mean, it would turn kids away, families away from coming to this university. It's already having a tough time with enrollment. I think we need to avoid that one at all costs. You know, Ben, Jim, you guys, I agree with a lot of things you said. Ben, you were talking about, you know, just where the money's going, how the mural was paid for.
I think clarity to our, you know, really being clear of where our fund, where our money is going, that is questionable, and clarity as far as what it's going to take to do some of these things that, that people really want. I would love to see sidewalks really nice, at least in the heart of the town, you know, where people are, you know, tourists are coming through, walking through town. They don't know to walk in streets. You know, yeah, a lot of locals do, but I think sidewalks would be important for that. Alleys, you know, some of the alleys are in really bad shape. I think that would be a great thing for the people to have those kinds of amenities. We need to be real clear on what amenities we have. Then parks and rec, I mean, that extra percent needs to be real clear. Why are city taxes so high? Well, we've got great things going on. We've got a rec center that most towns don't have. We have the ice rink that most towns. We need to make sure those things are up front, and so that they know that, hey, yeah, we do have a higher city tax or a higher tax here than most communities, but we get a lot for what we, I mean. We got a lot of amenities that are special. Anyway, I you know, looking at these, I would love to be able to sharpen the pencils, like you say, and go through that option C list and say, you know, where can we find, you know, $20,000 here, whatever. Sure. Just, you know, just to show the people that we are making a concerted effort to find some of the funds from within, but we can't find it all. So anyway, I agree with a lot that you said, Jim and Ben. I really appreciate the clarity and stuff that you brought out too. So option A, I don't think should be an option.
Just as a clarifying, I mean, what did you think about the thought of where we, it's not an option, but we identify the streets that would be selected for no ongoing maintenance as part of the educational campaign? Well, is that still?
Well, I mean, that could be a detrimental effect of not being able to fund this, and it would affect some folks.
Something that I think could be worth clarifying here, Bo, is I think to you, I think to us, option A may not be an option, but I think it's important to keep it because,
well, it's reality.
The option to the people,
right,
of what it's we will be able to do or not do should they choose option A.
I'm just saying, I don't want to go there. I don't want to remove that option, probably, but I don't want to go there.
Yes. That's as a reality of instead of an option. I mean, because that's where we're at if we continue this path.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I think that's an important piece. It's not our option necessarily.
No.
But it's that's the reality of where we'll go, right?
Yep.
Yeah, no, you're spot on.
That's it.
Thank you, Bo.
This is what this is for, is our discussion. So, you know, if we go to a property tax instead of a sales tax, we're all trying to keep rents down. That will make every landlord raise their rents because their property tax goes up. I think we need to go higher on a sales tax, but, you know, everything we need to do, I've got a list of stuff here. We've discussed it all. But I don't think we need to make the town look bad by trying to skimp on this. We ask for what we need, add a little bit to it for inflation, and not sunset it. We need to at the same time we're educating them on this, is let them know what we have to do with the rec center, that will be coming down the pipe. So it's not blindsiding that we need to get rid of that sunset, because that's what the taxpayers want. And how much we're actually subsidizing the rec centers over and above that tax, and how much then we will do once it. We need to build the whole thing in a way where it doesn't confuse the people, and we need to start putting it out there as soon as possible. So it's just education.
So a little follow-up question on that is, you know, there's the concept of you never really have enough money to fund all the things you would like to do, right? So there's a lot of great things the city could do with, you know, close to an unlimited amount of funds, right? So when you say let's include it all, is there a line that's drawn there where is there consensus with the council on, say, alleys or sidewalks, or what about other aesthetic type improvements like what we're doing for Ohio? Avenue.
We more put that to the people and see what the residents.
But it's hard to do that because you've got one, you know, question that you're asking, and I don't think we have time to poll.
Maintaining what we have now with the hopes that we can add sidewalks. So alleys, streets, curb and gutter, maintain the sidewalks we have now with on the most used areas in time, sidewalks with this funding, sidewalks will go in as availability. Once we get caught up on stuff, we can we can do sidewalks down Virginia. We can do them down Spencer. We can do them, you know, up around the university, 2-3 blocks off of Main and Tamichi, you know, start working out where the visitors and the kids and people use. But the sidewalks would be caught up before expanded. But the main
does that resonate with everyone else?
I hope so.
It does, but to an extent, right? Because in some ways, that would be, realistically overselling, right? Just from the perspective of if we presented that information as just stated, and then we look at inflation, once we get caught up, are we actually going to have enough money? I think given the given the education or the understanding that that opportunity exists, if we get caught up on roads, we then may be able to get two more connected sidewalk networks. But I think we have to be careful to not necessarily oversell either, right? Because I think
what?
Keeping up or upkeeping what we've got, I agree, sidewalks that are already in place, alleys that are already paved, and then certainly the streets. But then if we go down the route of, and then we can also do sidewalks with this funding, but we don't know that, right?
But that's what I was saying. We're not going to be able to do every street in town with sidewalks. I mean, we gave everybody in Palisade an option for sidewalks at a fairly reasonable price. We were stupid not, as far as I'm concerned, not to go with it. But what was the poll of the people that live in Palisades? 60% didn't want it? So, you know, and that section of town would be done. Well, that's gone. But, you know, sidewalks maintain what we have now. And then if due to inflation,
or at least where it makes sense on the non-motorized transportation plan.
We'd hope there'd be enough money left over to do it as funds are available. But that's after we take care of our curb, gutter, streets, and alleys. I mean, it should be.
Can I? I think that question is part of a plan.
Yeah.
What we need is for need, and what you're saying is you want to see what it would cost incrementally in terms of if we were able to do only key downtown area and just sort of have it broken out so that in an estimate out there, this would be there.
Then well, we had the block cost in our Ohio Avenue project. It was, what, $400,000 a block?
That's total rebuild, though. That's not.
Yeah, that includes lighting. That includes.
That's what it would cost if we would let it go all the way out and then go back.
It is a lot more than that. But the great irony is the money that we currently have sitting in the bank, if we could have spent it in 2018, would have had the whole thing completed between Colorado and 11. But there's a whole batch of stuff there that is we can talk about at some point. But what you need right now is, okay, how much money can we realistically pull out of existing things? How much money could we do if we really dealt with this properly? What about alleys, and you know, do we have it segmented into if it was limited to CBD and then if it was extended out along main thoroughfares so that you have what you end up with at that point for us to decide what plan works best. And it is one of those smorgasbord menus that you choose one from column A, column B, column C. And you build at that point off of the basis of the information you develop. You know, I think all of us would like to go, hey, this is our plan, and this is the what we're going to sell between now and then. And we can say, everybody that's staff, buy right when you find work. And it's the five of us that have to do 9 months' worth of work. That isn't going to work. We have to multiply the number of people involved, and everybody's got to put their best effort forward. And if we do, I think we can win. But the and have a reasonable solution on it. But what we need right now is solid information. You have three tracks that all are possibilities. I mean, the ultimate, the worst case scenario, I think, would be if we had a series of questions and proposals that went forward, and every time we went there, we lost, okay? No. It gets stuck, okay? I don't think that that will happen, but that makes option A real feasible situation, or you end up with some combination between C and A that essentially gives you, well, we aren't cutting big things, but we're doing the 1,000 cuts and we're going to die a slow death routine. So it needs, the information base is what we need, and that's what we need to work on, and we need a larger group of people to understand it. Now, we did reach some people, and quite surprisingly, after the election, I've run into some that were not, I would say, 2 years ago or when we started, really informed, but who are now advocates, okay? Much more so than we were a year ago. And so it's incremental. I wish it would move faster, all of us do, and it would move with greater clarity. But maybe we can come out with a good set of hardcore information that allows the discussions that we're having a tendency to go to right now have hard data, and where maybe we can get some public forum feedback like charrettes, which we've done on various projects and in various situations, and even, you know, the little stickies on the wall routine. I like this idea. I really like this idea. And you end up with,
or you could pass feedback out Monopoly money and say, what do you want to buy here? You know, I mean.
Yeah, then you'll get your utility bill full of Mickey Mouse notes. This is money from the city. I can pay my bill with it. Yeah, okay. I'm being facetious. But
the point that I'm trying to make, and I'm obviously not getting it across right, but, you know, what I did through our grants and all that, and that's what I did through this campaign, the nonprofits that talked to me and they won money. Well, if this doesn't pass, I can't vote for it. I held my guns. I, as everybody in this room knows, I didn't participate, and I showed them how I felt. So that's one cutback. If they want to lose it, their funds, that may come down the pipe. Do I want that? Oh, hell no. I don't want that. These nonprofits are very important, but they told us as a vote that we needed to come up with a way. That's so those people, I think, next year, and that might be the difference, just those, all them talking, going, we need our grant money, and we're not going to get it this year if we don't vote for it. You know, but we need to educate them on what we need to do. We don't need to threaten them that we're going to, you know, on option A. They just need to know. That's education. That's not threatening. That's not an option. But this is where we're going to be. And if you're my age and older, it's probably not going to affect you because we're not going to be here. I'm looking at the future for my grandkids and my friends' kids and so on. That's what we need. These discussions need to be printed in the newspaper. But start educating now. Educating. And then the nonprofits, those people know that their funds may or may not be here next year if this doesn't pass. Crane and Ski Hill may not. You know, that's what I liked about option C, the things that we may have to cut. Do we want to cut? Oh, hell no. But that's the direction we need to go, and I want to ask staff to come up with anything they can if we can use money from. Yeah, I don't want to raise utilities anymore to do that. That's what sales tax can do. And then in this, educate them not go to Walmart and in Salida, Montrose, Grand Junction, keep your tax base at home. We don't have a car dealership anymore, so where are we going to get it from? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's the type of stuff that needs to be put out there. The newspaper needs to be printing this stuff. You know, they're part of our community. We need to talk. I stop in businesses and I talk. I do business, so I talk to people. That's how I did it. I've talked to people. I hit many, many people that are not just my, because people come and complain to me about this tax. Why would we want sure. it? You explain why.
So I'm hearing some pretty solid consensus on B, right?
I want to jump in if I can. I think what Jim is doing is summarizing what you guys are all saying. And so I would agree with his analysis in that tax is not what you start talking about. You start talking about the cost of option A, okay? If option A is truly a thing that people want to vote for or have voted for, then some of the other stuff, the costs that are associated with that, what it's going to look like in 15, 20 years, that's what you do. If it's for B, and I don't think A, B, C is how it comes out as a package either, because it's not that simple. It's B is, okay, so if you want the streets maintained and you would like sidewalks and you would like alleys maintained and you would like bulb outs and things, getting the information, getting the projected costs, getting, you know, this is what it's going to take. What does that eventually equate to for a sales tax? Leave that B for now. Mm-hmm. Just get all the information out there. If it's C, here are the things that we could theoretically cut that equate to this many dollars. Are you voters willing to live with less of these things? And you're not talking about a ballot. You're not talking about a tax. You're not talking about a percentage. You're talking about what does the package need to look like for people? And that's what you need to educate them on and get from staff so you have that information. Because if you start talking about a tax, you're done already, just based on how the Fair Campaign Practices Act came out.
Okay,
so that's just it. And all Jim's doing is turning the analysis a little bit on its side to say information, education, which you guys are all saying also, but not related to, okay, now what does that number need to be?
Yeah.
Or even we're going forward. You don't make that decision. You might make it in your heads right now as a group during this work session, but you are not officially making that decision for a long, long time, because otherwise we're already messed up. And that's just based on what we just learned.
And there may be, truly by the time we get through with this and suggestions from others, some composite that actually works best. Mm-hmm. And if there is a composite that shows evolution and responsiveness to as many people's concerns as we can on all different sides of the question, you know, the need versus want, the ideal versus basic, all of those sorts of things, if we can put that together, I think we'll be successful. But it's going to take an investment in time by all of us, and include the public in the room as well. All of us are going to have to invest some time in educating and informing ourselves and others. And listening is equally important to little things that come up. Well, what about mag chloride? There are some places where if you mention mag chloride, you've got big problems with them accepting that that's even something that should be talked about. That's not relevant. But I'm just using that as an example. I remember when you used to dump all used motor oil on roads to calm them down. Now you do that today, you got brownfield problem with the EPA. So there are things where we need to educate people out.
So I'm hearing pretty solid direction from you. One area that I think is worth discussing some more is the elements of option C. If we're incorporating some of that, Are there areas where you have some comfort? Do you want to look at this redistribution of the Parks and Rec tax is one question I have for you. The other one is, do you want to start looking at some reasonable cuts in the areas in the general fund that compete with streets? And are there anything, is there anything on that list that is more likely to receive those? Because we also have the sustainability issue is caught up in this discussion. You have it budgeted but not approved. So any kind of input in those areas would be helpful.
From the standpoint of recreation, the information that I would like to base a decision on is, okay, here's the amount that's going right now to pay for the bonds that built the buildings and the initial. Here's the amount that's guaranteed. Here's the problem in the future, even in 2032. Because we might as well put that problem out there as well. And
It's a problem, but it's complicated.
Well,
it's a complicated problem.
The sooner that we... Now, that may not be something that we can convey to everybody, but it certainly should be something that anybody... sits up here or on our boards understands and sees that relationship. And, you know, we also need, you know, I would like to see the wording on the ballot that actually passed the one. And the other thing we need to do is people say, why are you talking about only 3 cents when I'm paying over 8 cents at the store? Okay, you've got, unlike a lot of places, a full penny going to the RTA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's one of the things that's a huge difference in our community versus others our size. Now, and everybody's right, the other aspects of the RTA are going to be a large discussion in and of itself, and hopefully it's not here, but... people are paying a full penny out of that, and I don't think they realize it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then you have the amount that goes directly elsewhere to the county directly and there. And I mean, I'm not sure I understand where that sales tax ends up in their budget other than just
unfettered. The county is restricted to capital expenditures.
So, therefore, personnel costs...
that's not
there. Service programs would not be there. And so, therefore, you're dealing with hard buildings and equipment.
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
So right. Just a good basic breakout of what our tax is versus all the other taxes that take us to 8.
Just because those exist doesn't mean that our responsibility for roads goes away or somehow funded by those.
Yeah. But it makes the quick comparison... well, you're asking me to pay too much money here. Well, there's a whole lot of decisions collectively we made that led to that.
Yeah, okay. Breakout of the 8.6 that we currently stand.
9. Yep.
8.9.
8.9.
And really, when you talk about lodging, then you're adding another 4 on top of that.
Yep.
I just want to thank Kathy for that clarification. I think that's really important. Before we do shoot ourselves in the foot.
Yep.
Because I agree, I think we need to do all we can to inform the public and get breakouts of information as best as possible. I think it's important that we express the specifics in some ways because that's going to be part of the painting the picture.
But that's the question of need and cost.
Mallory, do you have any?
No, I don't think I really have anything to add.
Okay. Well,
you know, I've heard some great stuff tonight, and I think we've, you know, made some points that are important, and I don't have anything else to say.
Okay. Jim?
No, I just think we need to educate, move forward, and do as much as we can, as early as we can, so this the discussion continues, and and there is some streets in town that need repaved now that you drive down the street. So those and anything else that we can put on Facebook or newspaper ads or whatever, just so it's being seen, and then the transparency of where money's really going, I think, is very important. And we don't want to cut back in law enforcement in any essential services. And I hate to say it this way here, but everything's essential that we do. So what do you cut back if you can't cut back on essential services, you know? So we just need additional money. Inflation has caused this. We didn't. And spend your money at home. Need to get out there, too. So that's all. I mean, everything I've said is reiterating. So, but I think we need to actively go forward on this through education right now.
So there's a lot to bite off there in what you've shared. I mean, there's a lot of issues that are embroiled in all of the same topic. And it's concerning, I think, with the complexity in trying to convey, educate people on a variety of areas that have all these strange moving parts that happen years in the future, whether it's sunsets on existing tax or issues that don't arise in for decades. I think there's some really difficult challenges in that. So I don't. We can try to see if we can go back to department heads and start looking at how do we distill this down into the essential elements that we're trying to capture here, because it's a lot of all of these options that's kind of out there right now,
right.
Which is, you know, this is the start. It's a great start to the conversation, and, you know, at the end of the day, things are complicated, and I think in that, sometimes that's helpful for the public to understand that it's not as simple as it first might seem when you just say, let's cut this. Well, you know, the answer is you can't in some cases.
Ultimately, it does become a yes or no question.
Yeah, it does.
But if it would, I'm just throwing this out there, if it would be helpful, and it probably would be a good idea, is to have roads discussion and maybe roads and rec tax discussion or something like that on the agenda every single meeting. And, you know, whatever staff has developed, you guys can review, analyze, keep it going. People will see that it's on there. If they're interested, they know where to find you. That's one element of education. And just make sure that it stays so that it's developed. And if there's questions based on what is created, then we not really as much me, him, can go back and, you know, work on it for you so that it is telling the picture in the way that would be helpful.
Yeah, because I think, no, and that's a really good point, Kathy, because I think a lot of it is we need to be educated, right? And then we relay that message to our constituents. So, yeah, no, that's a really good suggestion, Kathy.
So that's probably the key takeaway in this is the education element. And along those lines is the strategy to go about that. We talked a little bit about do you hire someone to assist with that. Clerk's office has some capacity to be able to do that. But do we have any preference from the council on the modality of how do you go about educating the public? I think, you know, we need to have that as a priority as through all the departments at the city. I think it needs to be a priority of yours. And so I think the point is well taken on including it on the agendas, but do you want to enlist any outside assistance in that, or do you want us to just really try to make this a focus as city staff? And
I guess I struggle with the motion of an outsider just from, I don't know the legalities of it, but it would feel like
you're moving forward. Like we're moving with the ballot.
Forward yeah. With, yep. with some kind of intent.
Which, what would the cost of that? Yeah, I can see that backfiring right. On us.
I'm kind of thinking that too.
Oh yeah, totally.
Unless there is generated from staff over time something specific as a proposal for council to consider, at this point there's not direction from us.
Yeah, I don't.
Does that make sense to you?
Okay. Is there any validity, though, in having a quote-unquote third party try to push this so it doesn't look like it's our own little agenda?
I'm not sure if that makes sense. At some point, yes. When, I do not know. Okay. All right. The one thing that I want to add is one of the criticisms I think all of us have heard is, well, you know, government never anticipates problems. It's always reacting to things. Now, there's a lot of people that say that and believe that. And that's something that is a hook also. This is really an exceptional time of where you have foresight created initially by a consultant and then staff trying to work inside that consultant's area and coming out with, hey, this ain't going to work. But it still is the notion of you can be forward-looking or you can be reactive. And that's really the substance of what's up there.
Right. It is easier to pass a road initiative when your roads have already gone to hell.
Yeah, and the problem with that, I'll pick on Colorado Springs. Every time I've been there for years, the residents all complain, gee, they can't fix the streets. The potholes are everywhere. Well, that's because they came along when they had too big of a backlog. And, you know, it isn't as bad as it was, but I mean, for 20 years, it was what street's going to be torn up this week that's going to cause you problems. That's the consequence of doing it. Yeah, it's easy to start to get the money at that point, but it's not easy to do the job, and the cost is too high in many respects. Okay. And in our situation, unlike a large metropolitan area, we cannot get the people to do the work in that amount of massive dealing with it either.
The volume
won't come. In fact, if I've heard correctly recently, we've actually decreased the amount of people that are doing that type of work in this county over time. And that's one of the problems of exacerbating costs and getting jobs completed. So, okay. I've had my piece.
Thank you, Jim.
Anything else?
No.
Nothing from my end. Anybody else?
I think it was very constructive.
We just had a pill that everybody could take and they'd understand.
It probably is one.
Me too.
I don't think Previn would make it, but anyway.
Well, I appreciate the conversation.
Yeah, thank you for the input. We'll get to work on it.
Dan and Jason, thank you both. If there are no further comments, anybody in the room?
Yeah.
Would you guys come up to the microphone, actually?
Yeah. Would you need?
You can say your name.
Name for the record, please.
I'm Kyle Balch. I think you need to really state what A means. If the roads do go to dirt, Jason already knows he needs more crew. You'll need more equipment. He already talked about that. We've been looking at a grader, like $500,000 now. It's, if you don't get that, then your streets are going to be even worse than just dirt. It's going to be washboardy roads. And yeah, I think there's a lot of people that don't like mag chloride. So in your information campaign, really state what A means.
Thank you, Kyle.
So thank you.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have a good night. Thank you.
Okay. Without any further comments online either.
I don't see anyone with their hand raised.
Oh, Anton's here too. Thank you for being here, Anton.
Yeah, thank you. This is a great conversation. I have nothing to add at this time. Just happy to support whatever council's decision may be.
Thank you. Thank you, Anton. Great.
Well, without any further comments, we stand adjourned at 8:01 p.m.